This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Travels to the border while her husband, the president, asked the Pentagon to plan to house thousands of illegal migrants at some of the military bases. Hi, everybody. Just another day in America. Kate Delaney here on America Tonight. A snapshot of what's happening in your hood and mine. What are we talking about? We're talking about this, of course. I would say there's no question you got to give high marks for the big flip and meaning the executive order and trying to sort this whole thing out. What a mess. But the media did dive all over Melania Trump because she wore a military-style jacket that said, "Really don't care, do you?" as she was visiting illegal immigrant children at a detention center in Texas and asking, "What can we do? What can I do?" Now, to clear that up, because, of course, this gets tweeted everywhere. The president said, "I really don't care to you," written on the back of Melania's jacket, refers to the fake news media. Melania has learned how dishonest they are, and she truly no longer cares. So this was like a $39 Zara jacket. I remember this, seeing this jacket somewhere maybe a year or 2 years ago, whatever, it was in one of the stores. But regardless of that, she went to the Upbringing New Hope Children's Shelter in McAllen, Texas, to see the situation. She was upset by what was happening. So was Ivanka Trump. They got in the ear. They got the ear of Donald Trump. And then, of course, things changed. And now, like I mentioned, the executive order changes everything. And what does that mean? And by the way, so you know, she did not wear that jacket when she was with the kids, because there was so much speculation on that. She took the jacket, she removed the jacket before Air Force One landed. So there you go. But the real sorting out is not over jackets and sayings and all of that. It's over moving forward, what happens. And even the Attorney General Jeff Sessions says the nation's asylum laws are being abused, is what he's saying. He's saying that with 85% of the cases eventually being heard, found to not be justified, everybody is claiming asylum and demanding trials. So that's part of the backlog and part of the problem that's happening. That's a huge number if you think of the amount of people who are coming over the border. So while that's going on and the Pentagon tries to make preparations to house maybe 20,000 unaccompanied children on these American military bases, how do they do that? They're trying to quickly figure all of that out with the new guidelines and the concerns that the changes don't go far enough, allowing children to still be held in detention even if they remain with their families. So, not the separation anymore, but be with the families, but how are they going to be together? It's unclear also what happens with the 2,300 other children that were separated from their parents at the border in the last couple of weeks. Can you imagine dealing with this? So, Jean Hamilton, who is a lawyer to the Attorney General, said this is a stopgap measure. Stopgap measure, because we need something. And what is that something going to be? Lawyers are planning to file challenges to what they call the Flores settlement, which requires the government to release children from custody and to their parents, adult relatives, or other caretakers in order of preference. So if those options are poof exhausted, then they have to find the least restrictive setting for a child who arrived without parents. Bottom line, Justice Department lawyers are going to seek permission to allow for the detention of families until criminal and removal proceedings are wrapped up. So this is going to be a nightmare for the people in the business in trying to figure it out. And, you know, the New York Mayor, Bill de Blasio, went to a center in Manhattan. There's almost 240 kids there that were separated from their parents. He told reporters it included a 9-year-old Honduran boy sent to the center 2,000 miles by bus after being detained at the border. The youngest child is 9 months old. And this is what they do to take care of the kids for a short-term period. Wow. But the kids are being treated well. And they emphasize that. Look, these kids are being treated well, so people shouldn't fear that. That they're getting very good care. Some of them have lice or bed bugs or other things that they're carrying, and they're being treated for that. So that part's good, and they're being treated good when they're in the centers. But with the number exploding, then there becomes the concern of, wow, where do you go from here? And the answer is they got to just keep moving forward and getting those cases processed as fast as they can, because it's incredibly slow. And with everybody seeking asylum, it makes it that much more difficult. Definitely. How about Charles Krauthammer, the Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist? He was a guest on the show a couple of times. 68 years old. Boy, seems so young. And he occasionally went away from the conservative movement, but he certainly was in the end. And he worked for Fox News Channel and the Washington Post about a year ago. He said he was being treated for a cancerous tumor in his abdomen, and earlier this month revealed that he had maybe just a few weeks to live. But what I love this is he said, I leave this life with no regrets. He wrote in the Washington Post, where his column had run since 1984, which is incredible. And he said, look, it was a wonderful life, full and complete with great loves, great endeavors that make it worth living. I'm sad to leave, but I leave with the knowledge that I lived the life that I intended. Powerful words to reflect on for anyone who is not living their life to the fullest the way they want to. I thought he was insightful. I thought he was funny. I thought he was clever and very, very good at what he did. You know, he was credited for all kinds of things. And he had no problem of praising people he didn't even always agree with. And, you know, he was a former Harvard medical student. He graduated even after he was paralyzed from the neck down because of a diving board accident. And he was a Democrat when he was young, and then he switched to being a conservative. And he aligned with the Republicans on so much, that's what convinced him to make the move. And he wrote about a lot of different things. He was incredibly, I think, interesting to follow, let's put it that way. And he knew how to deflect ridiculous criticism, right? He leaves a wife and a son, Daniel, who also became a columnist and a commentator. Hang with us. I'll meet you on the other side for the mailbag.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. 4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
So let's dig in the mailbag and let's see what we come up with. And as we dig in the mailbag, this is so fascinating to me because I got a ton of mail about email about from all of you listening to America Tonight. A good reminder, by the way, if you go to AmericaTonightRadio.com, let me say it again because I know a lot of people like to download the shows and listen to them, AmericaTonightRadio.com. You can sign up, make comments, whatever, but sign up for my mailing list because I'm giving away a ton of my books, Invade the Man Cave and Level the Playing Field. Really funny. It's got sports across the board in it, and you can certainly gift it to somebody else. But I went through the inventory so I could pull some out just for you because you're such a great audience. All right, so this is overwhelmingly a bunch of people wanted to talk about Melania and her jacket. So I'm just going to go through a couple of them. We got Jake, Bobby, Dylan, and all three of them defending Melania. So I'm going to pull out Dylan's. Dylan says, "Hi, Kate Delaney. I listen to you all the time, sometimes through TuneIn Radio, and sometimes I listen to you simply live or streaming or various ways to get you. But the bottom line is I just wanted you to know I've been a listener for a long time. Melania's jacket, I really don't care to you. I thought was brilliant. One, because there was a purpose to it. It's all the crazy press that follow around and write dumb, stupid things. Listen, I get it. It's always been that adversarial gotcha relationship between the media and the people who occupy the White House, whether they're Democrats or Republicans or whoever they are, but it just seems like they dogpile on the Trumps more than I've seen. And this isn't just some hot-headed conservative reacting. I really feel that way when I look at what happened in the Obama years, what happened in the Carter years, what happened in the Clinton years, and I make the comparisons. But I guess you know what they say about comparisons. I don't think the Trumps are worried because Donald Trump's ratings have never been better, approval-wise. Nice note. I'm going to read another one. This one is from Connor. Melania Trump should not have worn a jacket saying, I really don't care, do you, when you have kids who are not in the best circumstances. And whether it's a jab at the media or not, it was immature and a low blow. She didn't need to wear that. I bet the boss told her she should wear it. And then, sure enough, she got out of the plane, and that's what everybody was talking about, whether she wore it or not, to go and visit the kids in the facility. It was the wrong message to send, the wrong day for that. Any other time, fine, but not the right day for that to happen. She did take it off, and it was a message, supposedly, to the media, although her spokesperson said, baloney, it's not any kind of a message whatsoever. But you would find it hard to believe that graffiti writing on the back, that it would mean nothing. So I'm going to reserve my judgment on whether it meant nothing or not. And, of course, they have gotten smothered by fake news at times, and so if that's the reaction, that's the reaction. Let's move on to something else, because it would take us all night to go through. It would take us all night to go through all of these emails. How about this one? This one is from Dogged. I love that. What a nickname. Dogged here. Kate, I'll tell you what. This whole thing with Roseanne Barr, did you see now what ABC is doing? So Roseanne Barr is not part of anything moving forward. Her show was canceled, and because of her tweet, and it was bizarre, and it was racist, and she said she was on Ambien and all these other things, but it doesn't matter. They made up their mind. So they move forward now with this sitcom that they're rebooting called The Conners. It's a spinoff of Roseanne, and Roseanne Barr has no financial or creative involvement in the new series. They say the talks were tricky, and I read that because of the thorny contracts, which were signed years ago, but it happened. Do you think the show will do well? I don't know, because she was the drawing card. She was the star, and now she's not part of this cast, and how are they writing her off in the show? And I'm happy for all the people behind the scenes and even the actors, as this was a big deal to be back on the tube. So Roseanne co-stars John Goodman, Laurie Metcalf, Sarah Gilbert, they wanted to keep the show going. You know, once you get into the world of acting, whether it's a television series, it's the movies, there's a certain kind of lifestyle you live, and then when it suddenly gets sucked out from underneath you, when you're crushing it with huge ratings because of what she said, boy, somebody throws you a lifeline, you're taking that lifeline, because this show was a very big show back in its day, and it was exploding to be an even bigger show now. And with the tweeting and what she said, boom, she's removed, and they go on without her. Who knows if it'll survive? I don't know, because I think she is such a missing element. Just take it from that point of view. That makes a very big, big difference when you have a superstar that's gone. All right, how about this one? This one is from Sam, who says, Kate, Lionel Messi, he must be shocked because Croatia pulls off an incredible upset of Argentina at the World Cup, defeating this supreme South American team 3-0. So they move to the top of Group D to have one of the greatest players of all time, Lionel Messi, and not win it is really stunning. Very, very stunning. It is stunning. So, stunning, rather. So Argentina fans, Argentinians, are not happy. I mean, they're just not happy. Of course they're not happy, because they had expected that they were going to easily move on. And Messi has yet to score at the tournament. So all kinds of people also went to Twitter to tweet out things like, when's Messi coming on? Messi, where are you? But that's not good. Wonder if it keeps him in the game or gets him out of the game. But big for Croatia. Very big, needless to say. The biggest, I think the biggest story in sports, most likely, at least for a day or so, maybe even longer than that. How about this? This one comes to us from Kathleen, who says, Kate, I feel so sad about Kate Spade, realizing I don't have a relationship with her, but I think that a lot of people are feeling things that we just don't address. It doesn't matter if they have tons of money, a family, or whatever it is. If you get that desperate moment, you're going to take your life, and she is clearly an example of that. So I know a lot of people were out paying their tributes to her, but what a sad tale. It is a sad tale, and she was laid to rest in her hometown of Kansas City on Thursday, and there were hundreds of people that were at the Lady of Perpetual Help Parish, and they, as a tribute to her, they were clutching Kate Spade bags. I think that's really cool. Tragically, her father died Wednesday night at the age of 89. Can you imagine how devastating that was to him? A family spokesperson said he had been in failing health of late and was heartbroken over the death of his daughter. So he wasn't in the greatest condition, but that I believe that can push people over. She was found dead, in case you don't know the story, by suicide on June 5th in her New York City home. She was 55 and had a teenage daughter and husband. And her funeral was held in the same location where Spade's grandparents wed. That's what the family said. There were a lot of interesting people that were in the crowd, some of them famous, but it wasn't about them. It was about her. And it's interesting because the funeral program had a black and white portrait of her with her daughter, and the program for the eulogy was planned by her husband. So they gave her a great send-off, but really sad what that symbolizes, that no matter how much money you have and what it appears to be at the outside world, people that seem the strongest can be the loneliest. Stay with us. Coming up next, Yoram Solomon. We continue the technology conversation on Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. In a 5-4 ruling, the Supreme Court upholds the president's controversial travel ban on people from mostly Muslim countries. Minnesota Democrat Keith Ellison, the first Muslim elected to Congress, blasted the Supreme Court ruling.
This is a thin veneer of national security to basically hide a very ugly policy.
The president calls the ruling a tremendous victory for the country and the Constitution.
The ruling shows that all of the attacks from the media and the Democrat politics politicians are wrong, and they turned out to be very wrong.
The court says the president does have the ability to ban immigrants from entire countries if he deems it to be necessary. The court ruled that it wasn't a Muslim ban, but within the powers of the presidency to control who gets into the U.S. for national security concerns. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaroot. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a one-ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Breaking news from MyPillow.com. Free shipping when you purchase two premium MyPillows on the two-pack special. Free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. 10-year warranty. Machine washable and dryable. Made in the USA. Click on the two-pack special at MyPillow.com. Enter promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175. Be sure to use promo code USA. Free shipping on the two-pack special. Order now.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. That's BEST 55 to 443-443.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Predicted we needed to pack our lunch or at least a snack because we've got Dr. Yoram Solomon back with us again. See, Greg, you predicted that.
Yeah, I got to grab a snack here. So,
but Dr. Because he's Solomon, too fascinating. Yes, he's too fascinating.
He's an innovator, speaker, author, educator, author of 8 books, 21 or 22 patents, one of the guys behind USB3, and we haven't even talked about what USB3 is and why it's so significant for us as consumers and technology users. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Yoram, is this idea of culture starts with you, not your boss. I would imagine people listening to that and thinking, oh, sure, it sounds good, but how do I start? Sometimes the hardest part for people is taking that first step forward. And if I'm not generally someone who thinks of myself as a culture maker, what do I do inside me so that I can bring that kind of change to the rest of my company if I'm not the boss?
That's a perfect question. And you know, it goes back to the Newton's third law of physics, that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And so whatever you do, there's going to be a reaction to it. And the question is, what kind of reaction do you want? One of the reasons I use this trademark trust actions is because there is a vicious cycle between trust and actions that take place. So if I trust someone, the actions that they're going to take will reflect the trust that I have in them, and those actions would further allow me to trust them more. And the flip side is true as well. If I distrust someone, then what you get is actions that represent that distrust and only support why I distrust them. So So, you know, there are people who start with, I trust no one, and you have to earn my trust. Well, it's going to be very hard to build that trust. And remember that if you build that trust, you need to have that trust in order to build a culture of innovation and then use the innovation tool and then be an innovative company. Well, there are other people on the other side that believe in, I trust you 100%. I trust you with my life, even though I never met you before. I trust you with my life, and this trust is yours to lose. Well, I'm not a big advocate of that. However, each one of us has this level of, you know, this is where I feel comfortable trusting someone I don't know yet. All I'm suggesting is just push it a little higher. You know where you feel comfortable, trust them a little more. I think it was Ernest Hemingway who said, the way to know if you can trust someone is to trust them. And so try to trust them, see what actions you get in response, because those actions will would most likely support the fact that you trusted them, and that cycle will build from there. This is true in two dimensions. It's true in the horizontal dimension, in teamwork between you and your peers, people at the same organizational level. And it's also true in the vertical axis, between you as a leader and your followers, and between you as a follower and your leader.
Wow. Thinking of that, it's interesting. And again, going back to the culture, one of the things that Greg mentioned, and you said it, Yoram, you just did it, USB 3, talk about the significance, because I want to make sure we get to that. Talk about the significance of that and why, as consumers who maybe, I don't know how they wouldn't know it, but if they don't know what we're talking about, talk about what it was like to create that and how significant it is.
Okay, so first of all, the significance of it is USB ports used to be black, and now they're blue. So that's very important.
Well, you know, if we were in the fashion industry, that really would be important.
So there. I mean, PCs are becoming more and more fashionable. So having blue ports, it really adds a lot. It really pops out the color from the USB port. But to be more serious, and I'll go back to when I started this in 2005, the amount of content that you had was not very big. There was no high-definition TV or no high-definition TV files. Your connectivity to the Internet was not very fast. And so there was a limited amount of content that you carried. Remember that in 2005, an average hard disk drive in a computer would be just about 160 gigabytes, which is, you know, you laugh at it today because nobody gets a computer that has less than 1 terabyte inside, even a laptop, a small laptop. So the content is becoming richer and richer. Just yesterday, I gave a workshop for the Dallas Business Journal, and I recorded it on my camera. Now, this is a high-definition camera, not yet 4K, definitely not 8K. That file was 48 gigabytes. It was a two-hour workshop. So now think about this. That file is on your SD card. You plug it into your computer. It does go through a USB port. How long do you want that file to get into, or how long do you want it to take for that file to get into your computer?
Well, I think I have two choices, right? It can be 3 minutes or 3 days.
That's right. So you can do it with USB 2 that runs at 480 megabits per second, theoretical, because practical it's about 60-70% of that. And then you can use USB 3, and then there's the second generation 3.1 that runs 20 times faster. So the whole idea behind USB 3 was to, back then in 2005, realize that it's going to take 5 years for something like this to hit the market, maybe even more than 5 years. And so you need to know where technology is going to be in 5 years to identify where the bottlenecks are. And to me, the bottleneck was USB 3. But that's the only part of it. This is the value of why USB is important to your readers or listeners. But the second part is, so how do you get it, especially after your boss says no? Well, I went to the three engineers that I knew could make it work. And I told them, look, I need you to work on USB 3. And they said, you don't have to convince us. Just tell our boss. If our boss tells us to do it, we'll do it. And I said, well, here's the problem. I already told him. So they get happy. And I said, but you said no. I said, so here's the thing. This is important. We're going to be leaders with this. However, and you're the only three people that can make that demo that we can go and show Intel and show them that this works, that we can run 5 gigabit per second over a 14-foot USB cable. However, because our boss said no, one, you can't do that at the expense of your day job. Two, you can't tell anyone because you'll get in trouble. And three, if you get in trouble, I can't help you because you don't work for me.
Sounds like a great plan, Yoram.
It does.
Yes, I know. It's like you go out with this, so here are the reasons why you shouldn't do that. What I don't know if maybe unconsciously I did realize that this to the engineers was value proposition. They wanted to get in trouble. They wanted to work on this dark project, you know, something that you can't even tell your boss. And as a result, they all signed in and they worked on it. A month later, or less than a month later, we flew over to Hillsboro, Oregon to meet with Intel, demonstrate to them that we can run 5 gigabit per second over a 14-foot USB cable. And as they say, the rest is history.
So is this a good example, Yoram, of, and we're talking with Dr. Yoram Solomon. He's an innovator, clearly, speaker, author, 8 books, educator. His website is yoramsolomon.com, yoramsolomon.com. Is this an example of what you talk about in the book, Unkill Creativity, How Corporate America Can Out-Innovate Startups? Is what you did a great example of how you could bring to life something that otherwise would have died in a company with a very large and probably slow culture?
Exactly. And it is. That example is in that book, and it's also in the book, Culture Starts With You, Not Your Boss. It is, you know, I remember once when I worked in Texas Instruments, I flew over to Israel, and I met with an Israeli engineer, and he came to me and he said, you know, I have so many great ideas. And, you know, he told me some of them, they are great ideas. I have so many great ideas, but my problem is that management kills them off. They shoot them down. And I said, so what do you do about it? And he said, well, what can I do? I mean, when management shoots your ideas down, what can you do? And I said, so you probably don't have very good ideas. And so he looked at me puzzled. And what do you mean I don't have good ideas? Those are good ideas. I said, well, if you don't believe in your ideas enough to not even hear the word no, then maybe they're not good enough. And you have to be the first person that believes in your idea. You know, as Simon Sinek said, start with why. If you have your why, you know why you want to do this, you know why this is important, you know why it's more important than keeping your job, then it's not a good enough idea. But if you know this why, just go for it. You know, it's more important than your job. And the thing is that once you act this way, all of a sudden, management will come around and say, well, you know, we have this crazy person that really believes in this idea and pushes and pushes and pushes. And we're starting to see the potential of this. Then they're going to come around. This goes back into trust actions, you know, trust actions. It's a cycle.
I love that. Perfect place to end this. Dr. Yoram Solomon, fantastic. Read more about his background. Like we said, we didn't even touch on that. We could talk to him all day. Go to yoramsolomon.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Right now, he's one of the authors of this book that's awesome called Not Exactly Rocket Scientists and Other Stories. In fact, if you're lucky, we have a handful of copies, and you may win a copy of it. I'll tell you about that coming up later on the show. But Not Exactly Rocket Scientists, I love that anyway. How many times have we heard that expression? I think I heard this expression when I was in school, I don't know, maybe 150 times. And then the other stories. So let's dive into those stories. And again, we have Bud Schill with us. Bud, thanks for popping on.
My pleasure.
So it's about misadventures is the perfect way to say it, from really small town, mid-20th century America. It's three buddies celebrating friendship and what it's like when you're young youth, how you feel, and the laughter, the fun, the craziness, the, you know, growing up at that time. And it was an interesting time, wasn't it? What was it like pulling this together?
Well, we've known each other forever. We're old men now, but we've always been friends since we were little kids. And we started thinking about doing this book when our wives got tired of listening to our stories. And they had heard them forever, and they said, you couldn't possibly have been that stupid. And we said, well, we were. And then they said, well, wait a minute, you really were that stupid. But we're tired of hearing about the stories, so we suggest you write them down. And we did. It took us about a year and a half. We shared drafts of them. We cut each other's stories up, and it's a collaboration among the three of us. It was the most fun I think any of us have ever had.
And, you know, it's interesting because we always think of it as a simpler time. We certainly lived differently. We didn't have the speed of technology we have now. It seems to me like you had more time to get into some of those misadventures than kids do these days. Do you think that that tells the listener what it was like in the 50s and 60s?
Sure. I mean, back then it was a time of innocence. We kind of lived in a bubble. Our parents had just come through a depression and two awful wars, and it was a time of peace and a time of trust. And they would send us out the door in the morning, and maybe we'd be back by dinner, and they wouldn't have the corner of a clue where we were all day. So we had a lot of time to get into mischief. Almost everything we did turned to chaos, but we had so much fun, and we fortunately were able to remember many of those stories.
One of the things that you're famous for, and you, please tell me this is not a true story, did you really water ski up the back of an alligator?
I did indeed. It was my father's fault, though. He was driving the boat.
Wow, what happened?
I've also wrestled an alligator. Well, he was driving me in a canal in Fort Lauderdale, and he kind of lost track of where we were, and I didn't see the alligator, and I went right up its back like it was a ski jump, and it went into the air, and then he panicked, turned the wheel, and sent me into a beach which wasn't made of sand, it was made of coral, so I had a piece of coral go right through my hand. It was a lovely day.
I like that. It was a lovely day. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because you were known for antics, so there were other things that you did, too, as well. Tell me about your adventures on a riding a bike indoors while you were doing a few other things.
Well, that was later in college. I had learned to play the harmonica somewhat, but there was only one song you could play without actually touching the harmonica with your hands, and that's Good Night Ladies. And I learned how to ride a bicycle, you know, inside of a fraternity house, balancing a slide rule on my nose and playing Good Night Ladies on the harmonica.
I bet you were a hit. Were you a hit?
No, I was just an annoyance.
I like that. I was just an annoyance. And see, on the serious side, I mean, you know, obviously you grew up and you were a trial lawyer and law professor and you live in Virginia and you went to the University of Virginia. So, you know, you like to say, or in one of your bios it says that you grew up to be fully functioning adults, although probably not with your wives, and you mentioned that they got tired of your stories. So I think one thing it illustrates, not exactly rocket scientists is the book and other stories, is that you can have fun in life and still have a career and still be successful and enjoy life in another way, too, because you had, I bet you took what happened in your childhood, all three of you, as you carried your friendships out and continue to laugh and love each other, right?
Sure, and it's healthy to keep a good sense of humor. You know, awful things happen to all of us, and we go through sad times, but we can make it better if we remember the fun stuff. And real things are often funnier than stuff you make up, which is why most of this book is accurate. We fact-checked it with our friends, and we tried to keep it as truthful as we could, even though it's pretty zany.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, these guys, your friends, were just the right fit for you, John and Robert. You just all came together at the right time and had the right mix to be these lifelong friends?
Yes, so much so that when we talk, we finish each other's sentences. But they're two of the best friends I've ever had in my life. But if you read the book, you'll see that there were a bunch of other people who are important to the book, people like a guy named Duke Ellington and Suds Estes and Bay Bassinger and others who are also just wonderful, wonderful people, and we tried to salute them in the book.
I like that you say you tried to salute them. Talk about Duke Ellington. That's a good story.
Well, the Duke, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago, was hilarious, and he had, among other skills, he could turn his eyelids inside out. So one time he pulled a prank on a teacher in our chef's club, which was cooking for boys, and he pretended to be hit in the face with a door. He fell down to the floor. He turned his eyelids inside out on the way down and lay there as though he were dead. She fainted, and we had to put a quart of water on her head to revive her.
Wow. And that is a talent, you know, to be able to do that. The friendships continue, obviously. You live in different parts of the country. Do you have a couple of times a year where you get together?
Yes, at least that many times. One lives in South Carolina, one lives in Pennsylvania, and I live in Virginia. We try to get together as often as we can, and our wives are wonderful friends, and it's been an important part of our lives.
So they, and as you said, just like anyone else, you've been there for, when you have this kind of close friendships, you've been there for each other through the thick and thin in life. And could you ever have had imagined when you were young boys that your lives would go in the directions they went?
No, not really. I mean, I always knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. I don't know what the other guys wanted to do, but we always hoped, you know, when we were kids that we would be able to stick together. Friends need to stick together with friends, you know, no matter where you are. And we did, and the other people in the book are still our close friends. And it's just been a great, great life.
Tell us some, and the title of the book, again, is not exactly Rocket Scientists and Other Stories. What's your favorite story in the book?
Well, that's hard to say. I think one of my favorite stories in the book is one I didn't write. It was written by Mac. It's called The Commissioner. And it's about a kid we played wiffle ball with who was 3 or 4 years younger than we were and 10 years smarter than we were. And his mother wouldn't let him play with us unless we made him the commissioner of our wiffle ball league, which we did. And he was in charge, and he made all the rules. And the story ends, sadly, he was a genius. He went on to some degree of fame. But I think that's probably my favorite story.
Oh, I love that. The commissioner of wiffle ball. That was a good thing to do. That was a good thing for her to step in there and say that. And I think of wiffle ball. How many hours did you play wiffle ball when you were a young boy?
34,000.
I knew it. I knew I could get you to name a number, especially as a lawyer. I love that, 34,000. And you probably have 34,000 more stories that you could share as well. How fun was it to do the book with your buddies?
Well, it was more fun than we could stand. I mean, we were good friends to start, and we're even better friends now. We never argued. You know, we took shots at each other's stories in order to make them better and make them funnier, to make them more sensitive. And they're not all funny. Some of them are sensitive. But we become even better friends and are better for it.
I love it. It's really the story of Rob, Mac, and Bud. And it's not exactly Rocket Scientists and Other Stories. Pick it up if you want a good laugh, you want to feel good. And as Bud says, it takes you through the real journey of life, too, as well. So it's got some really hilarious stories in it and some really touching ones as well. Bud, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.